Hello and welcome to Creativize, Strategize, and Synergize, a podcast about the business side of being a creative. My name is Chris Scott.
My name is Atish, and in this week's episode, we talk about trusting the process and having faith that you know the moves to get to your goal.
How's your week, Atish?
It was good and bad, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
How about I go first? Because I feel like you're going to get into a really deep conversation and you're just going to like ramble for 3 hours.
Well, yeah. And that's kind of where my, to give context, like for my, for what I was thinking for this episode, it is kind of like, it does require background information and then cycles forward, but it all kind of comes together at the end.
Oh, cool.
You know what I mean?
Cool story, man.
But anyways, how was your week?
I was pretty good. Pretty good. I did some interesting things to do some, to make some headway in the murder mystery night. I went to a dinner theater last night. They had a murder mystery show and it was pretty terrible.
It was terrible?
It was pretty terrible. A friend of the podcast, Sarah Jackson, was asked to audition for the show or I guess say, hey, I'll do your show. Mm-hmm. But I guess the show doesn't do like rehearsals or auditions anybody that's willing to do it, they'll throw up on stage day of type of thing. It was super bizarre and weird.
Wait, day of?
It's what it felt like, but I could be wrong.
So they didn't like rehearse for weeks beforehand or whatever.
Did it live. I don't think they ever rehearse.
Oh my God.
I think they just go and do it. And, I guess they've been doing the show for a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And it mm-hmm. felt like the first night they were doing it and they had really bad audio problems and the script was really cheesy and campy, like even for me. And I like that kind of stuff, but it was way over the top. It felt like slapsticky, but forced and not good. And either way, I got some ideas of what to do and what not to do. They had some interesting things happening.
Yeah.
But they didn't really focus on the murder part. They focused on, it was like a magic show / mystery show.
This sounds all over the place.
It is all over the place. It's it's about a traveling magician, and everywhere he goes, his assistant dies. And he does all these magic tricks, and then his assistants, and then blah, 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 blah. And it was pretty bad.
Hmm.
There's one good actor in it. Her name was Trixie, that I think was played by a dude.
Trixie was played by a dude.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
Oh.
Had that energy to connect with the crowd, which I think is important with a live interactive part. You need that person that can connect with the crowd and like read the crowd and respond on a whim type of thing.
Maybe you can pull Trixie for yours.
I wish. I wish. That would be dope.
Okay, so you saw a bad murder mystery night.
Right. I saw that there's another one in town, but I got free tickets to the show last night. I don't think we can get free tickets to the next one, I think I'm good. I don't think I ever need to go to another one.
Hmm. Well, I think, figuring out, where you're not is the first step to figuring out where you are or what you are doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I guess you saw the components or the parts that you didn't really enjoy about the show yesterday.
Right.
But, I mean, at least was there something, some learnable experience from that maybe you can bring to yours?
Definitely, definitely. They did some interesting things. I don't know. The show was mostly about magic, which was kind of disappointing. But the things that I thought were cool was they had like prizes, which I didn't think of. And they had like the audience come up on stage and do weird act stuff. They had them dress up like babies for some reason. It was an interesting show. But the way they did the mystery part, the murder part, was they gave everybody an envelope and they used it as they're like, oh, everybody, you got a hot tip to solve this crime. And it was like a nudge to give me a real life gratuity tip. But on the envelope was a crossword puzzle or a word search to help define the motive and then the three suspects. And then you picked who the murderer was and why once you figured out the word search and put in your hot tip your gratuity of 18% or whatever.
Wait. But you got these tickets for free.
I didn't.
18% of zero.
I didn't pick the murderer or the winner. I just stood there and watched.
Oh, okay. You didn't fill out your crossword?
No, I didn't. But I was wrong. If I was assuming if I was trying to guess who the murderer was from the show, I was way off.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was Marsha, but it wasn't.
Marsha. Where have I heard that before?
Your favorite TV show, The Brady Bunch.
Isn't that something you just say all the time?
No, I never say that.
What?
Yeah, I think that's the first time I've ever said that to you.
Okay, whatever. So you went and saw this show. I know you also did some marketing / audience building / I don't know what you would call that.
Well, I made a vlog and I posted a thing on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm just seeing how that's rolling.
Yeah.
The vlog experience was interesting.
What do you mean?
Just making one and talking about it and recording it and trying to make it look natural. And it's just a weird process being on camera and,
yeah, you know, pretending to be like just doing it off the cuff when obviously you set the whole thing up and
I was reading it and I'm just not used to being in front of the camera as opposed to behind the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then, wrote some emails and sent them out, and that was weird too, but
yeah, it's always uncomfortable, starting to do that sort of thing.
But you got to help me with some, email writing.
Yeah, I was in my office, like at my desk, and I had my laptop turned, and we had some dead time. Like there wasn't anything going on in my queue. It was, what was that, Thursday or Friday?
Friday.
And we just didn't have anything going on for a little while. So it's like, I obviously can't look like I'm working on something else, but there's no harm in working on something else. So I was just like hammering out edits while my boss was over at his desk. Was productive.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you have a very busy work day.
Yeah.
Especially on Fridays.
Well, it's just like, this is the first time I've ever been part of just like a regular office.
Uh-huh.
And it's like the week totally goes downhill after Wednesday. You know what I mean? Like I didn't realize that was an actual thing.
Yeah.
Like Thursday people start phoning it in and, you know, like Friday, nobody's actually working their full day. Like everyone wrapped at about 3 and then just kind of coasted until 5.
Right. That sounds about right. Because you can't start something at 3 on Friday because you're not going to finish it in time. You got to save it until
Monday.
Right,
exactly. I think everyone just like it became an unwritten rule that they can just say fuck it at some point in time. And then they just, I don't know. It was amazing to me. I'd never been a part of of that kind of an office culture. It was great.
Oh, wow, man. Congrats.
So if you ever need any more editing work done, send it to me on a Thursday or a Friday.
Well, if we recorded these things earlier in the week.
Yeah, I know.
I could send you some audio files.
Yeah, I wish I could. I feel like I had more time off, even though I've always had 2 days off, like 2 days consecutively. I feel like I've always had more time off than I do now because I just had to cram so much other bullshit into yesterday. Like I had to get all kinds of just things done, like things for things around the house and getting a lamp because my apartment is really dark, as you can tell.
As I can tell.
Yeah.
So you're talking about your Saturdays are packed with errands and grown-up stuff.
Yeah.
And then your Sundays are just Sunday fun days, right? And we go to the driving range.
No, I haven't become a golfer yet.
No, not yet.
No. But as for my week, it was pretty par for the course. I go through all these cycles where, and I think everybody kind of does this to some degree or another, or maybe at least just the insecure people. but I go through these cycles where I essentially, at one point in time in the week, I'm thinking like, oh my God, I'm so fucked. I don't know anything and I don't know how to do any of this and what the fuck am I doing and you know, whatever. And then I get to this better point. I'm like, oh no, like I'm getting this, like, you know, maybe I'm tracking along faster than other people. Like maybe I actually have a really solid handle on this. And then I spiral back down to, oh my God, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, how the fuck am I going to do this? Blah, blah, blah. And then I cycle back up and it's just like this continuous kind of thing that happens throughout the week up until Thursday, Friday, when everyone stops giving a fuck.
Wow. That sounds like a pretty intense work week.
I don't know. Does that happen to you?
That probably happens to me. Just all the time though. It's because it's when you work for yourself and you're working creatively and freelance and everything, all that, it's just a constant state of that. I mean, yeah. You at least know in 2 weeks you're getting a paycheck. I mean, I don't know when my next paycheck is.
That is true. There's a certain security here that I know that I'm getting paid on Wednesday. So that'll be great.
Yeah. You're excited about that.
Yeah. But I'm also getting tased on Thursday. So I'm not excited about that.
You've been tased before, right?
Yeah.
Just don't drink any water beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to empty my bowels before I get tased this time.
Solid move. Solid move.
Yeah, professional. Well, anyways, I kind of had this weird sort of universal I kind of had this weird revelation yesterday about kind of how this all came to be. And kind of just how that progress was being made, even though I didn't realize that it was being made.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Tell the story, Atish. Start from the beginning.
Okay.
Start on your Mondays. Oh, Mondays.
No, well, this goes way back, way further back than Monday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
everyone,
this goes back to...
Go grab a beer. Get a cup of coffee. This is going to be a story.
Settle in. So this actually goes all the way back to 2009.
I wish there was a visual for that massive eye roll that just happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, essentially what happened with me is I went to college and, both my parents are PhD scientists, right?
Right.
So I just assumed, like, in order to have a comfortable life where you, you know, buy a car and have a house and all that kind of stuff, like all that normal shit that my parents had, I just sort of figured that you had to, to be at that level of, like, comfort and whatever, that you had to get a PhD in science. Like, I just assumed that's how it was done. So, I mean, science is really interesting, and I was really all about it. But... there was not really so much choice in that, you know what I mean? Or it wasn't like an educated choice. It was just kind of, I felt that that's what you had to do. And of course my parents aren't going to dissuade me from that idea, you know?
Right. Cause that's in their comfort zone. That's
right.
What's
exactly.
Been successful for them. So why wouldn't it be successful for you?
Yeah. Like they understand that. So it works out for them. So, I end up pursuing my degree in neuroscience and cognitive science. And that just happens to be the one fucking field that's way too specific. Like, have you ever heard of staying downstream?
I know. I've heard of not crossing the streams.
No, this is something different. Staying downstream or is it staying upwind? Upstream?
I don't know. I think...
Is that a saying?
You don't want to stand upwind.
Okay. Because
then you smell all the farts.
Okay, so it must
not
be
standing
upstream.
Upstream is where
upwind.
The bears live to catch the fish when the salmon are mating. Because the salmon swim against the stream. And then they just catch them with their paws and eat it. I know this. I was born in Alaska. I know bears. I know bears
bear
well.
Research.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, I think it's called staying downstream or staying upstream or something like that. Anyways, the point is that what it's all about is if you never get too specialized, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can be more close to doing anything else that you may want to do at any given point. You know what I mean? Like you're upstream, so you haven't really specialized. You haven't committed so much time to something that you can't just do something else.
Right.
And that's really tempting because then you don't have to fear making the wrong choice. You just make no choice.
And that's the easiest choice to make.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's also kind of bad. So eventually I did specialize, and then I got so specific that I got the one kind of scientific degree that you can't really do anything else with. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a chemist, you can go work in a chemistry lab or whatever, or you can also go work on a fucking vineyard or go work anywhere.
Right, right.
Like, you can people be a bartender. Have high paying. Well, yeah.
And that's, make that's molecular kind of where I'm shots going. At the molecular bar, which are weird and gummy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what?
Those molecular shots are weird and gummy.
Yeah, they're fucking disgusting. I can just come out and say that now.
Right.
Like, I am not a fan.
Neither am I, but places always happen.
Of that bar in general. What?
Places always happen. Because of the, yeah, because of the Pop Rocks. Pop Rocks are a
lame.
Are a crowd drawer.
Speaking of which, did you hear that Flycatcher is going under?
I did. That was crazy.
Yeah. It's bumming me out.
Yeah, I don't believe it. It doesn't seem real.
I know. I think I'm going to have to come down to Tucson for one last go.
Yeah, it's not that big of a bar either. It's like, why is it, how big is that building going to be? Is it just going to be like a...
Yeah, exactly. They're going to make high-rise apartments out of it, but it's like, how big can these apartments be? Like, they're going to have to be cramped and tiny, or like, it's not a huge space.
Right. And how high up it's going to, that's just it's a bizarre thing. All that student housing needs to stop, I think.
Huh?
All the student housing needs to stop because it's not Tucson developers developing those places. It's out-of-state people.
No, yeah.
And people living in those apartments are not in-state people. They're out-of-state students with parents that pay their rent all the time.
Yeah, exactly. If they're paying like $1,200 or $1,300 a month, then it's definitely, you know, people who couldn't get into the UC system, so their parents sent them to U of A because the tuition's cheap, but they're still going to pay them like full ride and shit like that.
Right.
Annoying.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways.
Pop Rocks. Chemistry majors.
no, but like a chemist can still do other stuff, and like a physicist can get work in a lot of different applications. If you do computer science, you're hireable anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But with neuroscience, it's like because I got my bachelor's in neuroscience, it basically, if you don't get an MD or a PhD, you can only work at a certain level. And you can't really do anything else. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so then after that, I worked in a research lab, and I was running fMRI research protocols and doing all that kind of stuff. But there was basically a firm cap at the amount of money I could make and what I could be doing because I didn't have any higher credentials.
Right. Because you stopped at bachelor's.
Right. Well, exactly. So I ended up not getting into the first time that I tried to get into a graduate program. I tried to get into a PhD program. I didn't end up getting in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I kind of realized why that is. It's, again, not that I'm, you know, totally blaming my parents on this, but my dad gave me the advice to not apply to any like middle tier schools. He kind of told me just to, or I mean, he did tell me to apply to like some middle tier schools, but it was kind of like this. Like, he was like, apply to Harvard, apply to, where was the other one? Princeton, apply to Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is the country's best neuroscience program, at least at the time, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then so I didn't end up getting into any of them.
Oh.
Yeah, this is the all is lost point in the movie.
How disappointed was your father?
Probably a lot. I don't know. I was more disappointed. And the problem was this was before. So this was 2013, give or take. And this was before I learned like any skills of tenacity or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I just kind of gave up. Like, because for context, this was the first time that I really kind of failed at anything. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, before this, I was always a straight A student. I got into everything I wanted to get into. Like, everything was fine. But this is the first time I really failed at doing something. So instead of doing what, you know, now would have been my response or something like that, instead of doing any of that, I just kind of quit doing that stuff, like academic stuff. You know what I mean? And because I just never wanted to feel that like feeling of failure again. So instead I just like opted to quit.
Right.
So then I spent a lot of time working a lot of dumb jobs and working at a lot of different restaurant shit and, you know, whatever, while taking other classes, just trying to surmount like another higher degree. You know what I mean?
Why did you want that higher degree?
Strictly just because I thought that I needed it.
Was a degree in the same field that you were applying in the PhD, or is it a new stuff? New, what was it?
New stuff. I mean, vaguely related, but new stuff.
Was it like chemistry based, or was it neuroscience based? Was it?
Well, I had to go broader than the way my thought process worked on that was that I felt like I had to go broader than that. So I started looking into like biomedical and stuff like that, because that's kind of similar area, but it's broader in application, or at least like it, you're not completely centered on the same thing. But so during this time, and this is around the time that you met me, I'm working a lot of dumb restaurant jobs, right?
Right, right.
Which are a huge trap, and nobody should do them. Although, given how this story goes, it all ends up kind of turning out. So this is where it all kind of comes together, and this is why essentially I'm like starting to have faith in the process a little bit.
And it's not that no one shouldn't do them. It's just it's something that is very enticing to stay in, because you know it's quick money, it's quick payout,
it's right?
Like, it's like that high. It's like, oh, I got paid right now. I have money in my pocket instantly. I don't have to wait 2 weeks for something. Mm-hmm. But people should still work. People should still work at restaurants, because I like going to restaurants and eating food and being served.
Yeah, that's true.
Very
so
nice
do I.
People that appreciate the
for
work
the most part,
and I appreciate them and how great of a job they do.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, having an intimate knowledge of how shitty that job can be, definitely support that. But anyway, so I'm working all these restaurant jobs, and that's where my first idea, through like us talking about it, that's where it was my idea to pitch them basically a consultant position for their corporate structure, that I could go in and just improve things, optimize things. That was my slogan for the longest time.
There's your thing, business optimization specialist.
Yeah, it's still my thing.
Still your thing.
Still my thing. My business cards still apply, except for the fact that I no longer live at the address that I wrote on there. So it kind of fucked up the whole stack, but whatever.
That's fine.
And side note, they were going to give me business cards at my new company, but they wanted me to pay $30 for them.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was like, shouldn't I just get those for free? Why would I pay for those? Mm-hmm.
So
anyways.
You got them?
No.
They're taking it out of your paycheck?
No, there's already so much other stuff. See, that was the other thing. I didn't really get taxed on my tips and stuff from a restaurant. Like here, I'm getting taxed like crazy.
Yeah. Did you fill out your W-4 properly?
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll find out next year when you do your taxes.
Yeah, come tax season. Yeah, I'm actually really surprised I ended up getting a refund this year, but that's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. So I essentially pitched to, the restaurant that I was working for, that I wanted to come in there and be their business optimization specialist in like a multiple different ways. And, that proposal got accepted. And I know I've talked about this on the podcast before, but essentially I was really, really stoked, because I thought this was my way out. This was like, this job would be my calling card and my way out of the service industry. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like I thought like, okay, here's some, you know, because I get up all hung up on titles and experience and all that kind of stuff. I thought that here was my chance to really demonstrate like these other skills outside of this and how this can apply to a lot of different businesses, and then I can get hired, or I can create my own thing, and it will be legitimized, and I won't, you know, I don't have to work like smaller menial jobs anymore.
Right.
But as we both know, that ended up not happening. Like I got kind of screwed out of that position in a sort of way. Like I'm pretty sure like now I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist about it that I'm pretty sure they knew because I told them I never wanted to just be like a manager ever, that they, I basically gave them the tools with which they knew how to make me quit or without firing me or anything like that.
Oh boy.
Like kind of just smoke me out. You know what I mean? I don't know.
do they seem that smart to plan that mastermind plan right there?
I mean, I don't know.
You know, you know. Do you think they're that smart?
Maybe not that smart, but perhaps that.
But their goal was to kick you out eventually. Why would they hire you in the first place?
Because they needed a manager.
Oh, for that period of time?
Right. It was a really rough period of time, and they needed somebody who was like competent and who they knew they could rely on day in and day out. So they promised me whatever they, you know, whatever would have made me sign on the dotted line. And then once that time period was over and they saw me trying to like do stuff and change things and implement new things, which, you know, how many times did I hear the phrase, well, that's not the way we've always done it. This is the way we've always done it. It's like, well, why did you hire me in the first place? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So after that time period was done where they needed a manager, but then there I was trying to like fix things and make things better and all that kind of stuff. Then they knew that they had to get rid of me, and they knew exactly how they could get rid of me without making it look like they were just firing me for no reason.
Uh-huh.
But again, like I said, this is all
conspiracy theory.
Yeah. It probably isn't anything like that. But anyways, so then fast forward to the point where I get this job,
uh-huh.
Right? It kind of just made me realize, because specifically what I'm doing right now is they're putting me on a whole bunch of projects. Like they're teaching me the rudimentary functions of this job, which is what I have to do. But they're also putting me on special projects of basically cleaning out the whole function of this job, like essentially improving the process that the sales reps use for this kind of stuff, improving the process that the order processing team uses, improving the processes that the engineering team uses, how we all communicate with each other, how can we make sure we track all this stuff so we all have metrics on how long things are taking, how can we, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, that's the stuff I'm in charge of.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So it made me realize that first job gave me, like, that was probably the experience that I got from that job trying to fix things and implement new systems was exactly the experience that they probably saw on my resume and then interviewed me about, and that was what pushed it through. And similarly, like in another realm of coincidences, my boss, who's from Harvard, has his degree in neuroscience and cognitive science.
Whoa.
But even further, the CEO of Taser, what was formerly known as Taser International, Rick Smith, has a degree in cognitive science and neuroscience.
Whoa, being blown right now, brah.
Exactly. So,
what's up with that?
Yeah, well, so it kind of made me realize that, and this is kind of where the take home comes. So that was about half an hour of story time that really doesn't matter to anybody, but here's kind of what I've kind of been thinking about for the week, is that it kind of, like, obviously what you do on a day-to-day scale and the jobs you're taking and all that kind of stuff, you have to be educated about that and you have to make the right choices, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it does impact something. But I think that the larger thing is just kind of tenacity and being able to kind of see things through, or just like sort of trust the process, because things end up kind of, if you keep putting hard work in, even if, you know, things didn't turn out so great on a lot of different opportunities or on what you're specifically trying to do or something like that, things kind of end up kind of rounding out.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like if you keep putting in the hard work daily for, you know, whatever it is you want to achieve, or even if you don't even know what you want to achieve, it kind of ends up, you know, or at least in my experience, it kind of ends up coming full circle.
Yeah, that's
because it hasn't gone full circle yet. I'm still at like three quarters or maybe even a half, but here's how it goes full circle. The skills that I pick up here and the tools that I pick up here, as well as obviously the money, allows me to set up you know, kind of in the dark, I can set up and create the things that I actually want to do and be self-sustaining. I just need to figure out how to do that vis-a-vis this job. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And it all kind of eventually will pyramid up, because before I had all the time in the world to create something, but absolutely none of the confidence or really even the savvy and competence on how to do that.
Right.
Now I'm getting that, but I'm lacking all the time in the world to be able to do that. So then down the road, it's like it creates a roadmap for you. You know what I mean? Down the line, I just have to make sure that I like now I've kind of got a map created for me. So now I just need to alleviate, you know, take my foot off the pedal on one thing, create more time, and then be able to do that once I gain the skills and the competency to know exactly how to do what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Like, do you ever have that experience where things end up kind of like everything ends up being a learning experience in kind of the most annoying way?
I don't think I've ever had that specific experience, but I do look at everything as a learning experience. Mm-hmm. And I try not to think like I'm ever stepping backwards, but only stepping forwards. And all of my new experiences are just helping me move towards something that I don't really know what it is really, but I kind of want it to be something, but who knows what it will actually turn into.
Yeah.
So I've kind of more of a, I feel like I'm more of a free spirit than you are.
Yeah. You're
very rigid and everything's chaotic. I can't schedule a haircut here. What's happening? My day is ruined.
Well, yeah, I mean, I need things to be regimented and orderly.
Right. But at the same time, you have to kind of like go with the flow. I mean, you don't know what, like you have a preconceived notion of what the limits are. It's like, oh, this is what the right thing is to do. But what happens if you go a little bit further? Or what if you mm-hmm. take a little sidestep and kind of end up in the same area? It kind of doesn't really, like the regiment doesn't really matter if you get the same results, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just being fluid and loose in that whole process is, I think, a quality skill to learn and be comfortable with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it inevitably comes down to like having balance. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I've always traditionally been a person who's a very like I don't take risks really.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like I always kind of take the safe route on stuff, and I think that gets you, like, that can get you a certain amount of success, particularly if you're good. Like you can kind of get to whatever. But without any risk, like, then there are the people who are like complete risk takers, and they, you know, probably get fast advancements or they can figure out stuff quicker. But at the same time, then they're willing to, you know, completely bet the house and they might lose.
Right. I call that toe dipping or cannonballing.
Toe dipping versus cannonballing.
Right. So, you know, how people, when it's time to go swim in the pool, and some people stick their toe in, see if the water's cold.
Uh-huh.
And there's some people that just jump right in.
Yeah.
That's how I compare it. That's what I.
Which one are you?
I'm a toe dipper.
You're a toe dipper?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of a toe dipper myself.
I'm a toe dipper. I like to feel things out. But then at some point, you just have to jump right in. I mean, like, yeah. Once you stick your toe in, yeah, the water's cold. But then you just jump in anyway. At least that's what I do eventually.
Yeah, yeah, eventually. Well, and that's kind of the thing. That's like learning how to figure out your balance on stuff. Because I'm figuring out that, you know, I, to a degree, have the competency that I need. I'm figuring out all the tools and how people actually build a successful business and all that kind of stuff by, you know, watching it be done and then just doing it for myself. But eventually it's going to culminate to a point where you just have to physically do it.
Right. It's kind of like when you work out.
Is it?
Yeah. Like when you go to the gym and it's, I don't know, probably not leg day, but maybe chest day, maybe bicep day.
Okay.
And you're on the bench press and you know you can do 10 reps with 225s on there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you ever try and uh-huh. do you ever try and do 11 or 12?
Yeah.
You try to push yourself beyond that comfort zone of I can do 10 for sure. But you do try to push yourself to go a little bit further.
Yeah, my problem with working out is I generally always work out alone. And so I have to really feel out where I feel like I'm hitting my failure point, because I want to make sure I'm getting there, but that I'm not going to drop a bar on my neck and, you know, be done.
But you do get to a point where, like, I can probably squeeze in one more, right?
Right.
You do, like, push it beyond that comfort limit.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you just have to take that into life. It's like, yes, I'm comfortable up to here, but I can do a little bit more. I can do that one last rep.
Yeah.
For Jesus.
So, I mean, I guess the question is, where do you define where kind of safe boundaries are like that?
Are you doing the same thing over and over again? Are you getting the same results? Is it the same comfort zone that you're in? Do you just feel comfortable doing the same thing over and over again? And do you just feel like you're hitting a wall every time? Does it feel like you're just like running through the motions? Is there no challenge anymore? Mm-hmm. And so if to break out of that, you got to think, what's one weird thing I can do to kind of make this a little bit more uncomfortable, but something still doable? Yeah. And it just has to be a baby step.
So just little small movements forward, but kind of edging yourself out of your comfort zone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that's kind of in respect to the, you know, my narrative. I think that I don't think I was consciously doing that, but I think that that's effectually what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because it starts with, you know, getting myself out of academia, where, you know, that's par for the course territory for, like, my parents. Like, they can offer me lots of guidance on that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then, you know, kind of getting myself and realizing that that's not what I want to do. So taking little steps forward, and then kind of figuring out where I actually want to go. And now the question is, like, that's kind of the key, is that I can't let myself get the mentality that I'm going to kind of let myself ride the coast at this job and, like, put money into a 401k, but you get the idea, right? Like, I can't just give myself the mentality that, like, okay, no, I'm just going to be a lifer here and, like, hope that this kind of structure takes care of me, because that's not what happens. Like, people stay in their jobs for 20 years,
right?
And you get, like, some promotions and some increases and, you know, things like that. But I don't think it happens at the kind of rate, or it'll end up giving me what I actually want to do, mm-hmm. you know? So I guess that comes down to mindfulness of where you're at and where you want to go.
Exactly. Well, I don't know. Did you ever watch Batman, the animated series?
No.
It's a great cartoon. I think it's probably the greatest cartoon ever. 90s were the decade.
Even better than BoJack Horseman?
Yes, it's better than BoJack Horseman.
What?
Batman, the animated series. It's a great cartoon. But there was an episode where Bruce Wayne was suffering from corporate espionage. And there's this weird count that showed up whose name is Count Vertigo. And he had this eye patch. And his eye patch would shoot out this weird laser. It looked like a spiral. You know those spiral things that people stare at to get hypnotized?
Uh-huh.
And it threw off your balance. And you're like, oh, I can't stand, I can't walk. And it would, like, crush people because they were, like, so off balance.
Uh-huh.
And so you look at this guy, and, like, the room will start spinning, and, like, the walls would get all weird and wonky. And you're like, oh, what's happening here? This is so weird. But as soon as, like, you closed your eyes and you trusted that the ground is still the ground and the walls are still the walls, Batman was able to walk up to Count Vertigo and punch him in the face.
Mm. And then use things out of his bat utility belt.
I don't think he had to, that one. Because he was just a count. He wasn't like a super, he just had an eye patch. So
he just had a magic eye patch.
Right. He had to use his wits to defeat that villain.
Mm.
But I think the point is, like, you know, you see a path in front of you, and you got to walk down it, but things are going to be weird and wonky while you walk down it. But as long as you trust that the path is still there and you're still moving towards that end goal, you're going to eventually get there.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think that the number one thing that kind of consistently always gives me issues in terms of what I'm doing or getting to where I want to go is, for some reason, thinking that that's like, I intrinsically have this self-running what would you call that, monologue in my head that just, like, says that that's probably not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when I went to college and I got a full ride scholarship or whatever, I was like, oh no, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people got that.
Nobody,
you know what
that.
I mean? Well, not anymore because fluoride scholarships don't exist anymore.
Right.
But anyways, but the point is like, you know what, like I just naturally believe that that was the case, that, you know, oh, I'm sure everybody gets that, and, you know, whatever. There is no reason to think that that was like an individual thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I have this natural narrative of just believing that things aren't going to work out. And I think that's really self-limiting.
Yeah, you can't do that, man.
Yeah, exactly. I got to break up with that idea.
You got to break up with that idea. But yeah, just keep the eye on the prize, man. Just keep walking, keep moving forward. Keep on keeping on.
Yeah, so that was my revelation for the week. And I realized that, you know, I see these things as sort of individual events or individual little time pieces, but because or set pieces rather, but because these things, time is linear and everything builds on each other, and like especially when it comes down to your resume or in terms of being like a creative, like your bodies of work or stuff like that, like what you've done and what you are aiming to do, like these things naturally sequentially sort of string together. So you end up gaining from stuff even if you thought you weren't.
Right,
which is kind of a relief, honestly.
Yeah, you feel relieved?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit. I feel like it helped me kind of string together like what I've been spending the past few years of my life on and what I hope to be spending the years of my life on, you know, down the line. Like, I'm not saying I have a firm 5-year plan, which would be great. I would love to have one of those. But I can kind of see how things can progress, or like how things are moving forward. Like when you see things in a sequential sort of fashion like that, you end up, or rather I ended up kind of seeing like how these things are going to benefit me in the future and like down the line, and how I should apply these things to, you know, a larger plan.
So now that you're at this 9-to-5-er, mm-hmm. do you see things in your workplace that you can do to move forward to, I don't know, kind of create some momentum behind what your goals are?
Yeah, sort of. So essentially what I'm kind of, the things that I'm kind of noticing is that you, like in the confines of my normal job, I'm only going to be giving like tasks X, Y, Z.
Right.
Right. And so essentially to get to the goals that I have, you know, there's going to come a time where I'm going to have like split agency. I'm going to have to be doing the stuff that I'm doing, but then also being creative. I'm also going to have to, you know, be working in my extra hours and, you know, taking more risks, building something that doesn't have such a linear trajectory.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it's like there are two parts to the same whole. I kind of needed this job not only for, you know, a confidence boost, but then also because I'm learning specifically how to use tools to do my job, like how to get the metrics and how to do like functions of this kind of a position. That is what I want to do, essentially, like go around and coach and teach businesses how to do things better, like which processes can be eliminated, how this can be upregulated, how you can do stuff faster, better, more volume, and in more profit or more revenue stream.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's kind of giving me the competency and the tools with which to know how to do that. You know, like knowing how to do things in Salesforce, knowing how to do all this kind of, you know what I mean? Like it's giving me that.
Right.
But the part that it will, like where it'll essentially stop, or where I'm assuming essentially it'll stop, is at the point where, you know, then you have to figure out how to apply that to other things than specifically the business I'm working in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
So that would kind of require a certain amount of creativity. Mm-hmm. Like that requires, you know, taking applications from one thing and applying it to something else.
Right.
So I can kind of see how I need to build on this moving forward, and essentially how it kind of more defines the role of the position that I eventually want to be in. Mm-hmm. Or the position that I eventually want to create. The things I eventually want to do have kind of become more structured and more defined because I'm actually physically working a job in that field instead of just, you know, like reading books about it and then trying to figure it out. So in that way, it's definitely been a good transition. But on the other hand, it firmly reminds you that, you know, there's going to come a point where I'm going to have to paradigm shift a little bit.
Right. I remember my last 9-to-5 job. It was at a news station here, and I was a weekend camera operator in the studio. So I was just running cameras in the studio. And the weekend graphics lady was always late and made terrible graphics. And everybody was always complaining about her. So then during the week when I was working like Thursday or Friday or whatever the weekdays were that I was working, I would sit with the week graphics guy, not the weekend graphics girl. And I would just watch what he did and just like Photoshop. And that's where I learned how to do Photoshop, was just watching this guy make news graphics.
Yeah.
And then eventually, one day when that girl was showing up, you know, it was like half an hour till news and she wasn't there yet. I just started making some graphics, you know, to, you know, help the show, believe in the show type of thing.
Yeah.
I'm a team player.
You're a team player.
And then she came in and saw me on the computer and she freaked out and then she quit. And so I turned into the weekend graphics person.
My God, she seems really fragile.
I think she was just a super hippie, anti, you know, establishment type of person.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like you have your conspiracy theories. I'm sure she had hers. And so, yeah. But then after that, you know, being a graphics guy, you get to learn how to do all the things in the control room, the room where they run the show, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And edit it live. And so I got to, after learning how to do graphics, I learned how to do audio. And then I turned into the full-time audio guy. And then there was another job that opened up right next to that, was the technical director. And in less than 18 months, I moved from weekend studio camera guy to technical director, which was a crazy move. But it was just because I just wanted to sit there and learn how to do all sorts of these new things.
Yeah.
And it was back in 2006, and I was, you know, in the middle of school learning about film and technology and all this other crazy stuff. And it was like a new medium for me to learn more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't want to advance in the company because I wanted to be, you know, the top employee there, be like, oh, I, you know, loved the news that much. It was because I wanted to learn more and understand more of what was happening and the whole, all the skills and the knowledge you could learn just by just working there. And so that's what I did. And after 18 months, I kind of quit because I was, I felt like I had a fear of being trapped.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have that fear.
To a degree, but not yet. Not yet. Cause I haven't been there 18 months,
but I was looking around me and everybody else that I'd have to wait to either quit or retire had been there for 20 years and there was no way they were going to just end up just up and quit. They weren't going to retire anytime soon either. They were kind of just writing
coasting
until retirement. And I couldn't, I couldn't wait however long, like 10 years probably till they retired.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel good 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When I was a spry 24 years old.
So essentially you figured out what you wanted from the job and that was basically to kind of build your technical acumen. But then after that, you realized that you didn't want to be part of that structure in the long term.
Exactly. And then a side effect of that was the company thought I was the greatest employee ever because I was so self-motivated and self-willing to learn and wanting to, you know, be a team player and be a part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I wasn't. It was a lie. I feel bad about that, but not really.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily a lie.
There was one day where I was definitely playing the game. And that was when the news director was directing the 6 o'clock news. And he was complaining about the Dolphins. And I know nothing about football.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh, can you believe what they did to so-and-so? I'm like, yeah, that's crazy, man. And he's like, you're telling me they did this, this, and this. And I was like, geez. I forgot what I said, but everybody in the room was just staring at me, have this like 30-second conversation with the news director about football. And as soon as the news director left, they're like, what the hell were you saying? Do you even know what the hell you're talking about? And I'm like, no, I had no idea what the hell I was just saying.
Right.
And they're like, geez, man. And then I was like the news director's favorite employee for a solid the rest of my time there.
Damn, dude. Yeah. I can't imagine a time when Chris Scott was playing the game.
I played the game, man. I play the game every day. I'm playing it right now, man. Playing it right now. You just don't know.
Oh, okay.
Now you're going to freak out and have some sort of crazy conspiracy theory about this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm going to be wondering.
Not going to sleep tonight.
Nope. It's going to be a long evening with lots of cups of coffee, and I'm going to be figuring out what exactly you're getting at.
Left and right. Well, you stare at the ceiling in the dark.
And I just got over my JFK thing.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll talk about that on a different podcast.
Did you see that one where the guys were like, Oswald couldn't do it, but then they could have done it. But he missed, the first shot missed. And like, how did the first shot miss if he was so accurate with the second shot? And it's like, oh, he hit the traffic light pole and it ricocheted off that.
What?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, this, and they go look at the pole and it's like, oh, this is probably the same pole from back then. And there was like a dent that they found in the pole. I'm like, oh, interesting. Interesting.
Was this one of those newfangled reality TV shows that comes on like the History Channel?
I think so. I think it was a History Channel or Travel Channel show.
Yeah, the same. And then they follow it up with like Bigfoot Hunters or whatever.
Sasquatch Survivors.
It's Ghost Adventures.
Ghost Adventures.
Are you going back on? Or have they gotten back at you for more filming stuff?
They haven't. They haven't come back to Arizona yet.
Oh, got it.
They were just here a couple of weeks ago, and I was on that. But I've only done 3 shows for them. So keep an eye out for the Globe episode. That should be a funsies one.
Everyone tune in.
Everyone into Ghost Adventures.
I know Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or whatever is coming to Tucson. You could try to get on that.
No, thank you.
What, you don't want to be filming Guy Fieri?
Yeah, I don't know. The guy's hair scares me.
And his just burnt skin. He's just burnt skin and then that like blonde crazy pineapple hair.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I thought the Man vs. Food show was cool for a minute.
With that guy, Adam. And then he got replaced by somebody else probably because he was having a heart attack.
Probably he's like, I can't eat like this anymore. It's terrible for you. But I like food challenges. I think food challenges are cool. Ever since The Great Outdoors. Did you ever see The Great Outdoors with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd?
No. Is John Candy the guy who plays Uncle Buck?
Yes. He went to some restaurant at their summer lake house, and he had to eat this giant steak. And it was just this huge steak, and he could eat it. And he had to eat all the sides, too, and he ate it all except for, like, the fat. And they're like, you got to eat the gristle, too. And then he ate it, and then he fell over. But he got the free meal.
Hmm. Well, I don't know what to do with all that information.
What you do with it is you realize it's a weird, wonky thing that you're experiencing on this path that you call life. And you got to trust this path and take a step forward every day and move forward, never backwards. Never think of yourself as moving backwards, just thinking forward. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you might have to eat some gristle and you might have to eat a hamburger with 12 patties stacked in it, but you're going to learn from that experience. You're going to grow from that experience and you're just going to continue moving forward. Just close your eyes, visualize that path and stay on it. Because as soon as you open your eyes, things are going to be weird and wonky.
Yeah. I think what it comes down to is having in a weird sort of sense, having the faith to just think that, that you will get there. Like, I guess it's a sort of consciousness of knowing, like not being too aware of what you're doing now, but knowing how this, like you always have to have a set present vision on how what you're doing now will construct the future goals. Mm-hmm. And then just like executing on the daily and making sure that happens. And eventually it kind of does. Like, I think that's essentially that's what the premise of The Secret is, but The Secret is also stupid because they're calling it The Secret. Like, oh man, it's, you know, if you just believe in something, it'll happen, it'll manifest. And it's like, well, that's not really how it happens though. how it happens is you start believing in something. Believing in something gives you sort of a trajectory. And now that you have basically a map, like you know what you need to do, where you need to do it, and how you need to do it, once you have that map, I mean, that's not a secret. That's a map. Like, that's a thing.
I don't know. I feel like the thing about the secret is it's when you're in a moment in your life, let's say, like as soon as you were rejected by Harvard, uh-huh. right? And you're just sitting there at home, and all you have around you is just rejection letters hanging all over your walls, because I'm sure that's what you did. I'm sure you just hung all four up and you studied them, and you're like, what does this mean? It's like, it was a template, Atish. They just copy and pasted it. Calm down, calm down. But like you're living in a moment of just rejection, right?
Yeah.
And so you're still living your day in, day out. It's like, oh, I tried to do something. I'm just in this moment of rejection. But as soon as you read The Secret or The Law of Attraction or whatever it is, and you put things up on your walls in your perspective of like, oh, I want this type of job. Oh, I want to drive a Carmen Ghia from 67. That's a teal color. I don't know. You just make these things and it's like, oh, this is where I want to go. And it kind of changes your mindset of, I'm living in a moment of rejection as opposed to a moment of like a stepping stone to get to the things that I actually want to get, like eye on the prize type of thing.
Yeah.
If you don't set your prize, if you don't define what your prize is, you're getting there is going to be kind of difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's essentially what happened. The whole reason that, you know, it didn't end up panning out is because you have to write like statements of purpose or like letters of interest as to what you want to do in the graduate program. And because I never actually had to think about that, and I never actually thought about what I was actually trying to achieve other than just the same kind of life that my parents had, like the same kind of like living situation, whatever, I never actually considered what I was trying to do. And therefore, it didn't give me a trajectory. Like there was nothing really to it.
Right. But as soon as you said, I'm a business optimization strategist or whatever.
Yeah.
Specialist. That's your secret, man. That's your vision board. And look at you now. What are you doing now?
Now I'm doing exactly that. And like I can see how this job will take off. So it's kind of like as soon as I just started doing it, or I had an idea in mind, then I just started executing on it. And then I just started kind of having fun with it. It ended up, in that sort of sense, it ended up manifesting itself.
Yeah. The secret, man. The secret. You're living it, even though you're fighting it. Stop fighting it.
Well, I wouldn't call it a secret, though.
Well, it's not. You're not making up a secret. It's called The Secret, and the secret is the Law of Attraction.
But, I mean, yeah, I guess.
And the Law of Attraction is, I guess, making a vision board, and your vision board was that business card that you made with that logo from that lady from Colorado, I want to say. Or Washington, or wherever she was from.
Washington.
Boom.
Boom. Yeah, that was actually really helpful.
The business card?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody go get business cards right now. They will change your life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just kind of put it was like a good solid way of like putting my intent out there. It ended up serving its purpose.
Right. I feel like business cards are kind of like a badge, mm-hmm. like a patch. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what military people do. Don't they wear patches or stars?
Yeah, patches and also like buttons and all kinds of.
Right. See, I didn't want to say buttons, but you did.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like when FBI agents walk in and they flash their wallets and they're like FBI, you know?
Yeah.
I think your business card is kind of that. It kind of defines who you are and what your purpose is and what you want people to know about you. And it's all right there in a 3x5 piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps a lot of people sell themselves. Even though people don't really look at business cards, it's more so for you than it is for the other person.
Hmm.
But 10% of the time, they will look at that business card. They will go to your website. They will email you.
Yeah.
They'll click on your profile on LinkedIn because of that business card.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to... Tip of the day.
Yeah, well,
tip of the day.
That's why I'm still using my old business cards and not buying any new Axon ones.
Right. I'm going to start. That's my challenge to myself this week, is to hand out my business card to 5 people. We're going to start small.
5 people. All right, but they have to be like credible people, not tow car.
It's his birthday yesterday.
Was it?
Or today. Today's his birthday.
Oh, damn. What are you doing?
Nothing. He's got, like, families and stuff.
Oh, he's got kids and shit.
But I'm going to go see him on Tuesday.
Mmm. Get one of those gimlets.
No, he's not working. Well, he's that's his bitters day. So he works on the back making bitters.
Got it.
But, yeah. I'll have a gimlet with him afterwards.
Mmm. Perfect. Thank you for listening to Creativize, Strategize, and Synergize. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe, share, and leave a rating. We'd really appreciate it. You can find Chris on social media using the handle @ElephantScout. You can find me with @AtishMazish. And finally, you can follow the podcast on Twitter with @CSSPodcast. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at podcast@cscottcreate.com. Thank you so much.